Well, we're very soon to wind down our study here in the book of Galatians. It's been a great study. It's been very beneficial to me personally in the study of the defense that the Apostle Paul gives for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A defense that still is required in every generation. There's not a generation that has gone by that has not had to stand for the simplicity that's in Christ, for the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul, of course, both in the book of Galatians as well as in the book of Romans, gives the great defense of what we believe and why we believe it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Heavenly Father, one more time we bow before you today to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the gospel. We know that it is, and we believe that it is, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we believe and we see that therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Oh God, we thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We thank you for the blessed gospel. We ask today that you'll yet confirm it true to our souls. Establish it even more real in our hearts. And make the Lord Jesus Christ all the more precious to us for what he endured to purchase us with his own blood. Oh God, help us. Speak to us. Minister to us. And use something that we have here today from your word, not only to deepen our understanding of the gospel, but I have to believe that some way, somehow, we will be called to give a defense of the gospel that we have studied and learned as we've gone through this letter that you gave through the Apostle Paul. So bless it to our hearts. And we offer ourselves, Lord Jesus, into your hands to be servants, to use what we learn for the benefit of another soul. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are profound statements that we have in God's Word. Some of those statements, they ring in our hearts. We've memorized them because we recognize that they are so succinct. They're to the point. They take a whole picture and they give a summary of it in one simple little statement, such as John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You recognize in that simple one, simple significant statement, it is the power of the gospel. John 3:16. There are some statements in the Word of God that, well, the church has used them not only in the believers' lives, but we've often used them as a as they are intended to awaken the conscience of somebody we're talking to about the Savior. The passage that we have read here today, I'm going to connect it with another passage in the Gospel of John here in just a little bit. But we're going to see this statement that we looked at last week. We pick it up again here this morning to see the power of one simple little statement. That has the that encompasses everything about the gospel. You may not have looked at it and thought of it in those terms, but verse 15 is one of these statements. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. But a new creature. The hardest thing that missionaries and you and I very often are confronted with is the power of the ritual. There's something about ritual that grips people. Religious ritual, think about it. It is a worldwide practice. No matter where you go, no matter tribal peoples, you're going to find something in the human nature that is addicted to ritual. And it is hard for mankind to relinquish ritual for faith. There are many under the umbrella of Christian. Who insist that their faith is represented in ritual. But more often than not, ritual eventually becomes the means of salvation instead of the finished work of Christ. Now, we only have one young whippersnapper here with us today. The rest of us have come from another generation, and that generation grew up in churches where you had long altar calls. Just as I am, sung at least three times. And the minister trying to draw somebody to come down the aisle, which was something that really never was done until Mr. Charles Finney came along. Charles Finney is the one that popularized the coming forward in meetings. Whether you knew that or not, I don't know. Now you do know. Prior to that, the evangelist stood and preached. And the preaching was the invitation. There in your pew. Hearing that Jesus Christ died for your sins, it had nothing to do with walking down an aisle, and it had nothing to do with kneeling in front of a church. The new birth took place in the church. It took place in the field. It took place in the barn. It took place in the chicken coop. It took place beside the bed. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel was the invitation. Ah, but as time goes by, we're all familiar with this, and it's part of the practice of what's done in our churches even today. But if we're not careful, we'll have people come down thinking that the coming down, the coming forward, the ritual will somehow add to them coming to Christ. We would never think in terms like that, but I'm telling you, there are more people that have come forward in meetings and bowed the knee and cried, who've gone through the ritual, who've done what the pastor, the evangelist, encouraged them to do, and there they trust in what they did. The book of Galatians is dealing with that issue. Not coming down, they didn't do that. The preaching of the gospel awakened souls, and they believed and were saved. Think of the Apostle Paul preaching there on that very first missionary journey. And he's preaching to a group of Gentiles, and there happens to be one there who is lame from his feet, in his feet, can't walk. Remember the story. And something in that man's expression showed to the Apostle Paul, he's believed. Yes? Shake your heads. Something awakened that Paul could see. He believed, he had faith to be healed. Paul tells him, stand up. Had nothing to do. It was no ritual involved with that, was there? But he could see. Paul could discern. Something had changed in the countenance. Something had changed. If you're a Christian for very long and you travel around, you meet somebody who just in a few moments of conversation, and they look at you and they say, "Are you a Christian?" You ever had that happen? So you wearing a cross on your forehead? Is that how they knew? No. There's something about your spirit that spoke to them because it was real in them and real. Ritual doesn't bring that about. New birth does. By the grace of God. Ah, but it's hard for men to give up their ritual. Am I saying that we should not invite sinners to come forward? I'm not saying that. I'm saying we need to be very, very cautious about it. We need more discernment to know when the Holy Spirit is really dealing with a soul. Because when the Holy Spirit is really dealing with the soul, he calls on the sinner to lay down his arms of rebellion and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 15 becomes the most succinct explanation of the entire letter of Galatians. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Everything that the Apostle Paul has written to this point is a summation in that one simple statement. It's all right there. Everything you need to understand. You can start there and go back to the book of Galatians. You can read it and it'll make everything come alive to you if you take verse 15 here and apply it to all the rest of the chapter moving forward. The whole reality of knowing God in the way of salvation is made clear both to Jew and to Gentile in this one statement. So, I want to break this down in just very simple terms here this morning. And as the Apostle Paul said, but in verse 14, to preface this, he says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world, for in Christ Jesus." You know that that is a very repeated phrase in the New Testament. Over and over again, we find that that there's a reference there of us being in Christ Jesus. Paul now says to them, for in Christ Jesus, nothing else matters. Examine yourself right now, this morning, this day, whenever you hear this read, in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? If you are in Christ Jesus, you did not get there by ritual. You came there by birth. No one describes the birth of a child as being a ritual, correct? You do not define birth as a ritual. It's a birth. It's the presentation of a life that's been growing and developing. It's the introduction of that life into a new world. For in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, what do you, let me take some quotation marks here. What do you see of the word in? I'm putting the word in quotation marks. For in Christ Jesus. What do you see there? What comes to your mind when you read that little word in? Hold your place here and turn back to the first chapter. Chapter 1. Turn back to chapter 1 and verse 6. We've returned here time and time again as we have gone through the book of Galatians. Verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I would say to you, to give definition to this little word in that the Apostle Paul is saying here, for in Christ Jesus, we would define that as those that are the recipients of the grace of Christ. And you and I know that grace has not come to us by ritual. By its very, the very word of it, it cannot be ritual. Grace is something that's bestowed to us that we didn't earn, couldn't earn, wouldn't earn. It is something that is freely given. For by grace are you saved through faith. And Paul is saying, I am at a wonder, I'm at a loss. You that have turned from the grace, this absolute unmerited mercy of God to your soul, to come back to think that somehow you now need to add some ritual so that you're really saved. Or you're really going to be sanctified now. You're really going to have a walk with God if you can and if you will be circumcised and take on the Old Testament law. No. For in Christ Jesus. So clearly, we think of this little word in this context, we're thinking of God's absolute unmerited favor when by the power of the Holy Ghost, He opened up your eyes to make you see you were lost and undone and without hope, and you heard the gospel of the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2. Another one of these succinct statements, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But you and I know, we've already pointed it out, and you can already reckon in your mind that the world all around us is fixated on ritual. And the Jews were given ritual, weren't they? We've been studying here on the Wednesday night. Our dear brother that did the study on the tabernacle, been watching these videos, they've been excellent. And you and I know that everything that's being described in the book of Exodus and on into the book of Leviticus, it's talking about ritual. Even the Jews practiced the ritual of 8 days the little male boys being circumcised. Paul said, hey, I've got a whole lot to brag on. I was circumcised the eighth day. Oh, that ritual. Oh, but you see, here's where it sticks in the minds of men. That by the ritual, we're right with God. That's what the Apostle Paul is showing them is not true. The Jews are going through all of the ritual. They've been going through all of the ritual, but look at their history. It's a history of open rebellion to God. You have one here and you have one there throughout the Old Testament scripture that shows a heart for God, a love for God, an obedience to God. It is a remnant. It's a small number compared to the mass that believed that by their ritual, I'm a child of Abraham and I'm right with God, because what was performed for me has set me apart from all of the world around us. And Paul is saying, he said, well, that's what I believed one time too. I believed it firmly. In fact, I believed it so firmly, everybody that didn't believe it, I was ready to kill them. And I participated in the murder of Stephen in doing so. Had his ritual saved him? Had his ritual changed his heart? Had his ritual made him right with God? And the answer to those questions is no. So when we look at this little word in Christ Jesus, we see the grace of Christ and we see the satisfaction of the law. And it is by faith that we have come to trust Christ. We didn't trust walking down the aisle. We didn't trust kneeling at a certain spot. We didn't trust crying a certain number of tears. We looked away from all of that and we pled for mercy. We knew we were lost, helpless, damned sinners. And if Jesus Christ didn't save me, if He didn't birth me, there was no hope for me. And we begged Him for mercy. And even the begging for mercy didn't make him say, well, I don't know whether I want to save you or not. He is the one that drew you. The Holy Spirit is the one that wooed you. He's the one who made you see that you were lost. Because all around you, there may have been others that did not hear that voice that day to say, believe. But it's hard for people to give up their ritual. The teaching of the Judaizers had drawn attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Come back with me to our text here in chapter 6. For in Christ Jesus, the teaching of the Judaizers had drawn attention away from the person and the work of the Savior. And Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Jesus Christ is the starting point, and He's the finishing point. Hebrews tells us He's the author and He's the finisher of our faith. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. So I think I've labored the point sufficient. Yes? So he says here, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Neither ritual availeth anything. Can I insert that there? Pull out the word circumcision. For in Christ Jesus, neither ritual availeth anything, or the lack of ritual availeth anything. Because that's really what he's saying. Of course, their ritual, they tied it all up in one event, one ritual. But it was the whole of the ritual. He's questioned them earlier. What about days and months? You're going to start following all of that? You're going to start following all of the Old Testament law? But the beginning point would be circumcision. We looked at all of that last week. Okay. I have said to you that verse 15 is one of these. It's a maxim. It's a principle. I want you to hold your place here in Galatians. I want you to turn back to John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. Now, you that know your Bible, you may already be jumping. Okay, I think I know where he's going with this. And if you do, praise the Lord, that's great. I want to pick up our our reading here. At verse 19, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And when she's been confronted about her sin of adultery, you've had five husbands and the one you're now with is not your husband. She says in verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Ah, ritual. Our fathers worshipped, we did our ritual in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to do their ritual. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's not one of you here that has never heard this before, correct? You've all heard this. You've read this scripture. You've probably had a dozen sermons in the course of your life that someone has preached on this passage of scripture. You've had it referenced. You've read it. When the Lord Jesus makes this statement, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus makes that statement. I would submit to you that Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15 is the follow-up to that verse. Jesus is making it very clear to this woman what has been and it always had been true worship. It always had been and could only ever be in spirit and in truth. But he was saying there's coming a day when all of the outward form that you've been taught, that you've learned, that you've understood, it's going to be revealed to you that all of that was to point you to have faith and believe in God and look forward to a coming Messiah. That's what she's going to follow up with. Why? We hear this Messiah is going to come. I'm him. I'm him. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is in this statement. He is sweeping aside all ritual. You're not going to worship God any longer by mere ritual. You're going to understand that it's always been in spirit and in truth. And so in the New Testament, it's all stripped away. All of our churches have, we open with a psalm as we end on our Sunday mornings. We sing a song. We shake hands with one another. We've kind of got a ritual that we go through Sunday by Sunday. And I kind of like it. It's a simple form of worship. We don't have any stained glass windows, though there's nothing wrong with stained glass windows. We don't have any aesthetics that are here to draw your attention, though our sister said, you have a very lovely building. Yes, but that won't help us in our worship, will it? The only way that we can worship God aright is in spirit and in truth. And the only way that that can be accomplished is if we are born of the Spirit, which is exactly what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You need a new birth. And so when the Lord Jesus says this to the woman, he sweeps away all ritual. When the Apostle Paul, you can come back with me now to Galatians, when the Apostle Paul says here in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. He sweeps it all away. The Jews are not going to be any closer to God by circumcision, but he doesn't tell them. Oh, let's come back here. All right, hold your, one more place. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you know your Bible, you know 1 Corinthians chapter 7. There's instruction the Apostle Paul gives here to those who are married. There's some, and those that are married to an unsaved person, how are they to respond being married to an unsaved person? But I want you to, I draw your attention, because he's wanting us to, as believers, accept the providences of God for us on an individual basis. Verse 17. 1 Corinthians 7, 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him become uncircumcised. Huh? Let him not become. Oh, not become. I don't even know how that can happen. Pardon the thought there. But he makes it very clear. Don't try to not be what you were. Is any man in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. The same statement. But the keeping of the commandments of God. Now, he's just encouraging the believers here. However God calls you, take the providence that God has brought into your life and live there. If you're a slave, if you're a servant, well, don't kick against that. If you're a master, whatever you're doing, however God's called you, whatever gifting is in your life, whatever providence, however the Lord has found you, be content there. If you're a Jew, don't reject that of being a Jew. Don't say, well, I'm not going to be a Jew anymore. You're still a Jew. You're still one of Abraham's sons. If you are a Gentile and you're not in that family, well, don't try to pretend that you are, because you're not. Back to Galatians chapter 6. Neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision. It is now spiritual worship, not ritual. Ritual Judaism in the mind of the Jew for salvation or sanctification, it's over. It is swept away. Just as the Lord Jesus said to the woman at the well, you think coming to your mountain, the Jews think coming to Jerusalem, is going to have somehow affect them and enable them to worship God. And Jesus says, no, it now is. If you're going to worship God, you're going to come to the realization that none of your ritual will save you. You need a new birth. Israel believed that by virtue of their circumcision, they were automatically the people of God. And in one sense they were, but in another sense they were not. Because Paul would say in the book of Romans, not all that are Israel are of Israel. And Israel continued in unbelief, we know. So he says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything. Well, I have absolutely overlabored the issue of the ritualism side. But now let's flip to the other side. He says, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. So the Gentiles that are now receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, now that they know that the Jews who put so much emphasis on circumcision and obeying all of the law, that didn't get them near to God. That didn't save them. That didn't change them. They're no better than us. In fact, we're just as good as them. Circumcision doesn't avail anything, nor uncircumcision. You and I have nothing to be proud of as a Christian. The only thing that we can do is bow our knee and thank God for having shown mercy to us and having saved us. The lack of ritual. In Christ Jesus, the Gentiles were not to harbor any animosity towards the Jew or pride against him. I'll not ask you to turn to the book of Romans, but you certainly know Romans chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul writes to the Gentiles and he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them, the Jews, which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? So you and I know there's a blindness on national Israel. There's an occasional Jewish person that is saved, man or woman. They come to Christ, they believe, they trust. And they become a part of the Gentile churches. But they don't cease to be Abraham's sons or daughters. But they realize their ritual, their birth, their nationality never saved them. And you and I never also remember that the gospel still comes to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, what matters is the new creature, having a new birth, being transformed. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, one didn't advance you there, one didn't keep you from there, from God. The only thing that mattered was you having a changed life, a transformed life. Without the transformed life, you cannot claim to be a believer. And verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Let's just think in terms of this. He speaks about a rule. Oh, well, now I thought ritual equals rule, doesn't it? What are you talking about that neither circumcision avails anything, but now you're talking about there's a rule. Well, there still is a rule. It's the rule of God's word, isn't it? Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Let's try it all over again now. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yes, there's still the rule of Christ, the rule of holiness, the rule of life. And so the word their rule means a measuring rod. What regulates the life? A standard, a principle. And what are they? It is the doctrines of grace, the doctrines of grace. And what do they give? You see, when the Judaizers came in behind the Apostle Paul's ministry and they started to say, you've got to do all these things, the only thing that could happen from that is once the churches began to entertain it, once they began to listen to it, they didn't have peace. That by virtue of accepting, you just lost your peace. They couldn't be comfortable with their salvation now because did they have the right thing? So as many as would live by this rule, the rule of Christ, the rule of the cross, that is what's central here. It is the cross. In the previous verses, he had said in verse 11, you see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. All of this, your salvation, is not based on your ritual, what you've done, what you said, how much you prayed. It is you believing in and trusting absolutely the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, where He paid my debt in full. Most of you will have Galatians 2:20 memorized, don't you? For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Oh. For in Christ Jesus, Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision makes any difference. But God has shed forth His love to me because I know when Jesus hung on the cross, He died for my sin. What ritual could add to Him dying for my sin? To add ritual is to say Jesus didn't finish the work. And all those that will live by Christ Jesus, he's saying to them, if you'll live by Christ Jesus, if you'll throw this off, your peace is going to come back. And you'll see that your salvation was absolutely by mercy. And it will continue to bless your heart with both peace and mercy. Ah, as many as will walk according to this rule, if you'll commit yourself to living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he mentions here the Israel of God, one final verse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul, in his argument that they had been saved by the Spirit of God working in them, he says by explanation to them, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. What you have in your salvation experience in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is the same salvation Abraham experienced. Because it came by faith. The just shall live by faith. Are you going to walk in it? You and I know. You have people all around you who are still living by ritual. Are you going to have the courage to tell them, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. All of our ritual means nothing. It doesn't bring us to God. It doesn't make us more holy. The question is, are you in Christ Jesus? Have you by faith absolutely trusted, rested, believed, received? But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. To everyone that believeth. I'm mixing those two together. I just encourage you. There's a world of ritual believers around us. Don't be afraid to challenge the ritual. Study the book of Galatians. Study this passage. Connect these two maxims, the one that Jesus said and the one that Paul, and you'll see no amount of religion will save anybody. You need to be in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, oh, how wonderful is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, it is all by you. We wouldn't have come to you dead in our trespasses and sins. None that does good, none that seeks after God. We confess, Lord Jesus, left to ourselves without the power, drawing power of the Holy Ghost, we were without hope and without God in this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. So I ask in Jesus' name, as maybe a little more of the truth of the gospel is settled into our hearts, I have to believe there'll be someone that you're going to use these truths. There's someone out there for each of us to tell that salvation is only by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross. This world is crucified unto us and us unto this world. Let us walk by this rule, Lord Jesus. Help us, deliver us, use us, and empower us in the power of the Holy Ghost to love sinners and love them enough to confront them with their ritual. How we praise you and thank you. For this we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't need the piano, Nita. We all know this one, number 236. It's Amazing Grace. It's a sweet sound. The mercy of God that brought us to Himself. I trust that the Lord has encouraged you. I can be of any help to you spiritually. I'll be glad to talk to you for your soul's sake. But we'll stand and worship together as we close out our service here this morning. Hymn number 236, singing all four verses of Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Grace will be our song for all of eternity.